It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Let's go to the St. John chapter 12, verse 25 and 26.
He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
It means don't love yourself more than God. That's what he wants to say. People are so much concerned about themselves. So here he's saying, you are looking up your life, and this life is not eternal. But if you spend your life for me, you will have eternal life. Verse 26.
If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
See here, he's saying very nicely, if you really love me, you want to serve me, you follow me. And if you follow me, then wherever I am, you will be there. That means you will be with me all the time. If I go to heaven, you will be with me in heaven. If I come on earth, you will be on earth with me. We go back to the heaven, you will be with me. Means he will be always with his servants. And not only that, he said, then my Father also honor you. So the Father will honor you, and I will love you, and I will be with you. My Father will be with you, so you will be not alone. So once we are with Christ, we don't have to be afraid of anything. He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And here he says, if you follow me, if you serve me, then you will have eternal life. Plus, Father will honor you. But the suffering of this world, you cannot compare with what glory we are going to get. How many years of suffering? Maybe 20, 30, 40 years of suffering. And here the glory we get, eternal life. So that is the weight of glory more than what we're suffering is very light. But sometimes people say, you don't understand my suffering. God understands every suffering. And God will not allow anyone to suffer more than what they can suffer. He makes the way out. And so God is always there watching over us. Matthew 16:26.
For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?
He said if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what is the profit? Gain the whole world. Everything going good for you. You never call upon God. You never receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You never went to church. You never read the Bible. You never prayed. And you die. What happens? He said you lost everything. And then he says, if God starts saying, I give you the soul, that soul's value was more than a whole world. Now, what did you do with my soul? Can you give the price of your soul back to me? No, we cannot pay it to God. God gave everything free, thinking that you will do something out of it. God thought from the foundation of the world, the man will do something good. But man was not able to do. So he said, now I'm going to send my son. And when they come to my son, then they will be able to do something in Christ. So without Christ, we cannot do anything. Read the Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
This was the God's plan, that we should do some good things for God. The mankind was not able to do anything good until Christ came. And so now the Christ came, he gave his own spirit to us. He washed our sins away. Now once we receive Jesus Christ as the Son of God, he promised, I will bring my Father. My Father and I will stay with you, make our home, and so the devil will not come and destroy you. One time Bunky said, one story, it's not a true story, but has some meaning. He says, there was a man, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, I have a big mansion. I give you the place, go and stay upstairs. All upstairs is yours. So Jesus says, okay. And so here comes the devil, and start beating up this man. And he's crying, Jesus, come, help me, help me. Jesus didn't come. That devil went away and he went to upstairs. He said, Jesus, didn't you hear me crying and calling you to come? He said, you told me to stay upstairs. So I could not come down. You gave me the place upstairs. So he said, okay, then you can come downstairs this time. And he gave one another room for him downstairs. Now the devil comes and beats him up and he start crying again. Jesus didn't come out. And the devil left. He said, what happened? I gave you the downstairs. Now could you hear? You didn't hear me crying and asking you. He said, but you told me to stay in the room. So I could not come and help you. He got the idea. He said, Jesus, whole house is yours now. Upstairs, downstairs, every room is belong to you. I have nothing now. You just be in charge. And then, okay. Next day, the devil comes and Jesus stands at the door. Devils run for his life. We are giving Jesus little bit room. We have to give everything what we have. What my house, my car, my money, my pocketbook, my life is everything belong to Jesus. Then enemy cannot attack us because Jesus Christ lives in us. And so that's why he said, what profit you have if you don't have Christ in you? You're nothing. We are just no value. But when we have Christ, we are having everything. Means we are belong to God. And what is belong to God is belong to us. Okay, verse 27. Matthew 16:27.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
Now here it says, when Jesus Christ comes with the glory of his Father with his angel, then he shall reward everyone according to his work. So the Jesus Christ is coming, and he's coming with his reward. There are so many rewards we have, and there are at least 5 different crowns we are going to get. So Jesus Christ says, I'm coming. And when the Word of God says, when he comes with the many crowns. And so the Word of God says, when he comes, he has for everyone a reward. And so many people are confused about this. Some people say, oh, we'll get our reward in a Bema seat of Christ in heaven. And some people do not know where we're going to get reward. He says, I'm coming to this earth. When I'm coming, I bring my reward with me and I'll give my reward. Let's read the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13.
And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be.
See here, the same thing is saying. I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. And when I come, I'll give it to you. In a 1,000-year reign, all the believers, the bride of Christ, we have so many different kinds of job to do. So we will be ruling. Somebody might be governor, somebody might be mayor, somebody might be a king, and all kinds of things we have to do. So he will do accordingly, just like the man gave a talent to everybody, and somebody made 10, and somebody made 5, and somebody didn't do anything. And so he says, according to what you did for me, I have rewards for you. And I will give record accordingly, and I'm coming quickly. And somebody says, we didn't know who I am coming means. Verse 13 says, who is he?
I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, I am Alpha and I am Omega. I'm the beginning, I'm the end. So Jesus Christ is the one who has authority to give us gifts, give us all rewards. So somebody said, I don't need any reward. Well, if you don't need any reward, that's too bad. I want everyone to get something, right? Now, I will tell you, even though you want it, if you don't want it, you will get one crown at least. What is that crown? The crown of righteousness. Now, that crown is given to the people who believe Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, and with his blood, we are righteous. So all the believers who are righteous, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, they will get one crown. So don't think that you are not going to get anything. Everyone will have something. Now here we see Jesus Christ is bringing his reward, and he is going to give it to each and every one of us. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew chapter 16 and verse 28.
Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom.
Now when you read this thing, Jesus Christ is talking to his disciples, and he says, some of you are standing here, you will not die until the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So somebody would have thought, we are not going to die. Maybe some people will die and some people will never die. So now somebody will say, okay, these people are not going to die and they are going to be in the kingdom of God. And so there was a one person was not going to make it, and then you know who that person was, Judas. But that is not the meaning coming in here, because he is saying, all of you standing. And now there are so many scholars, they goofed in this. If you read 17th chapter, but we are going to read that next week. But I'm going to give you the similar example in 2-3 books. Luke says, chapter 9, verse 27. Please read.
But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God.
Now see, here is saying, kingdom of God. Matthew said, Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now the Son of Man coming in his kingdom, and he says, the kingdom of God. Now, when you read a little bit further, what happened when Jesus Christ said this, he took them to the mountain. And then his face changed like an angel or the Son of God. And then Peter didn't say, nobody said, but the scholars are saying, oh, that was Jesus Christ was saying, that they are going to see the kingdom of God, and Jesus Christ's face turned like a Son of God, and that was he was talking about. If that was he was talking about, then at that particular time nobody died. Please read. How many days before, after this happened?
And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray.
See what happened? When he said that you people are standing here, but some of you are not going to die until you see the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Son of God, you will be still alive. And he says, after that, 7-8 days later, he took them on the mountain. At that time, all the disciples were alive. Nobody died, right? So you cannot compare. That's what Jesus Christ was saying. But most of the scholars I heard up to now, they will be saying, this is what Jesus Christ was saying. But let's read the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 1.
And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power.
Now see here he's saying, now you compare these three sayings. Matthew saying, the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Luke says, the kingdom of God. Mark says, the kingdom of God come with power. Now see, three people said three different ways, but the one thing is kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God has to come with power. Now here also, if you read the second verse, he took them in a mountain. Okay.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves.
Point I'm making, this is what the people believe. When transfiguration on the mountain, that was the kingdom of God coming with power. If I believe that, only one thing is missing. Nobody was dead. And so Jesus Christ says, somebody is going to die when they see the kingdom of God coming in power. Now, the kingdom of God is like a threefold. First thing, Jesus Christ came, and when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, what happened? The kingdom of God starts in your heart. And in the day of Pentecost, what happened? When you read how the Holy Spirit came,
and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Here we see the kingdom of God coming with a power. So each and everyone felt the kingdom of God coming. And then what happened? These people were able to witness about the kingdom of God. But who was not there? The Judah was dead. Because Judah could not see this mighty hand of God coming with the power, and the people are witnessing of the kingdom of God to the whole world, and Judah was not there. So Jesus Christ was saying, the kingdom of God is coming, and you will be in that kingdom, but the one person will not be there at that particular time. Now, if somebody says different way, that Judah will not be in the kingdom of God, and all the disciples will be in the kingdom of God, then that's okay too. But you cannot take that as the transfiguration of Christ, as the kingdom of God came with the power. If you take that, then Judah was still alive. Nobody was dead. So you cannot take it that way. So the point I'm making, Jesus Christ already told these people that, first of all, he says, I will send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come. He will abide in you. And then you will be my witnesses. And then, St. John chapter 14, verse 23, he says, I will come and I will bring my Father also with me. Please read.
Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See, Father and Son, together they will come and make home. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you. So what do we get? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, dynamic power lives in us. And so we are in the kingdom of God right now. And then what happens? Then who has the kingdom of God in them? They are the one who will be in the millennium kingdom. And those are the people who are in the millennium kingdom, they will be in eternal kingdom. And so if you miss Christ, and you don't have the kingdom of God dwelling in you, you cannot be in millennium, and you cannot be in eternal kingdom. And so Judah lost all of these things, but thank God, we didn't do anything great job like Peter and John and Paul, but we have the same blessings. So we will be with Christ. He promised, a few minutes ago we studied, he says, if you follow me, if you serve me, you will have eternal life, and you will have, my Father will honor you, and you will be with me always. So we got a triple blessings. We got the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, living in this world in his kingdom, living in millennium kingdom, and living in eternal kingdom. So we are the blessed people. Book of Matthew chapter 17, starting from verse 1.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias.
Now here we see Jesus Christ takes Peter, John, and James. Jesus didn't tell them why they are going there. But when they went there, I think Jesus might be a little bit far away from them. And all of a sudden, when they start looking at him, his face starts shining like a sun. Now, when his face shining like a sun, what happens? You cannot see his face. So maybe they start looking at his garment. And the word of God says the garment also were like a light. Not like a white cloth, but it was shining like a light. Now sunshine and the light, so they might have closed their eyes. And so when they closed their eyes, all of this three people start looking at a vision. Not only Peter saw, he says they saw. Peter, James, and John, they saw Moses, Elijah talking to Jesus. Now the Moses didn't come on that mountain. Elijah didn't come on that mountain. They did not talk to Jesus, but this is their like a dream, a vision. And they are seeing like a Moses is there and Elijah is there and Jesus is there and Elijah and Moses are talking to Jesus. They didn't know what they were talking. Nowhere Peter, James or John mentioned anywhere in the Bible what Jesus and Moses were talking. Because this was just their vision. And when they saw talking with Jesus, and in this vision, Peter is asking Jesus. He says, Lord, it is good for us to be here. So he is saying to Jesus, let's stay in this mountain. Why he was saying? Because people were trying to kill Jesus. And so he's saying, it is good for us to be here. Nobody will know that we are in the mountain and we will be safe. Because Moses did so many miracles. Elijah did so many miracles. Jesus did so many miracles. That they were thinking, if three people team up together, nobody can do harm to us. So let's stay in this mountain. They were saying like this, and all of a sudden, the word of God says, the bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, the voice out of the cloud came. And the voice was saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. And if you remember, similar voice came out of heaven when Jesus took baptism. That is in Matthew chapter 3 verse 17. But at that time, the voice simply said like this, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But in this mountain, he added a little bit. Let's read and then we compare.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
And go back to the Matthew 17 and read that, hear him. Verse 5.
While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him.
Hear ye him, or listen to him. Now the Peter, James, and John, all of them saw the same vision, heard the same voice, and then Peter, when he was talking, the word of God is saying to Peter, and I think James heard it, and John heard it, hear him. To whom? Listen to Jesus. What was going on in Peter's mind? Peter might be thinking, Elijah is a prophet, Moses is the prophet, Jesus is the prophet. They are all equal. And that's what he was thinking. But if you study about the Moses and Elijah, they were not perfect like Christ. Moses had a trouble when people were not listening. He said, Lord, take my name out of the book. That means kill me. I want to die. I cannot take care of these people. God says, I'm not going to kill you. Moses had weakness. He didn't want to leave because people were not listening. Same way Elijah. Elijah killed prophet of Baal God. So he started running for his life and he said, Lord, I'm not good enough. Kill me. So God says, okay, if you want to die, anoint another man, Elisha, and then you can go. But God did not kill him. He went up without seeing the death. So Elijah went up, and there was another man, did not see the death, is Enoch. These two people never saw the death. But now in this vision we see Moses, Elijah and Jesus on the mountain, Peter starts thinking they are all equal. And that's what Peter starts saying, let's make a three tabernacle, means three rooms. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus. And the God talked to them and says, listen to Jesus. Because if you read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, when Moses says, God is going to send another prophet just like me. He was just saying it. And the Lord says, okay, Moses, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, and then read 18 and 19.
The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him.
That means, I'll send the prophet, that's Jesus, and if they don't listen to Jesus, then I'm going to punish them. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 3, and verse 22 and 23. Here is very clear. He says who that prophet is.
For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people.
Okay, when you read in this chapter, it's explained that who this prophet was. That is Jesus. And he says, if you do not listen to Jesus, they are all going to be punished. And so, Peter didn't know that. Now God is saying, Moses' ministry is finished. Elijah's ministry a little bit remaining. But still, Bible scholars and some of the pastors, when they read this paragraph in this Bible, something comes in their mind. In a book of Revelation, chapter 11, God is going to send two witnesses. Now, all of a sudden, people think, hey, Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and they were on that mountain. So, Moses and Elijah will be coming as a witness because their names are not given. So, this is just guessing game. The pastors and teachers and scholars guessing. And why they guessing it? Because it says Moses and Elijah did so many miracles. And so they thought this might be the two people. But according to the Bible, book of Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27, it says, it is appointed once to man die, and that after that the judgment. And so, if it's appointed every person should die, and after that judgment, then Moses already died. And somebody says, whoa, we didn't see the Moses body, because Israeli people still looking for his body, they could not find. Because the word of God says, God buried Moses. God means actually angel buried. But he says, God buried Moses. And then he said to Joshua, Joshua, Moses is dead. That means he's proven that Moses is dead.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.